Welcome to Spirit Driven with Senior Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. And now, Pastor Dave Wilson.
And let's read this account. It says this. And this is after the Apostle Paul, after he had gotten up and started, after he had converted to Christianity. He says, and immediately, notice that word, immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues. That's where the Jews gathered to learn, saying he is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priest? But Saul, notice the second phrase, but Saul increased all the more in strength. He increased in strength. And Samaria, what, had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. That's good, right? The church got real healthy, it got built up, it multiplied. And so I'm thinking, okay, let me kind of tear apart this chapter and let me look into it. What was going on? And there were a couple things that I saw really stuck out. There was quite a few. But just for this morning, I want to talk about two things that Paul had, I think, that you and I can learn from. One is he had a sense of urgency. Right? He had a sense of urgency. You ever meet somebody? They always talk about that in business. Have you noticed that? You ever see somebody and you ask for help, you're in the store, you can't find something, and you want somebody who has a sense of urgency to help you, right? And if they have proper training, they have that, they know, oh yeah, let me go find this for you. Isn't that great? Oh, in fact, I'll walk you to the aisle. Wow, that's great customer service. See, I used to train salespeople, right? And so I told them, you got to have a sense of urgency. You know, be ready to help them. But I've walked into some stores, and I won't say where, but I've walked into some stores, and they don't, not even the manager has a sense of urgency. We waited for like 45 minutes, Tammy and I, to get this product taken down from the shelf from one of the lifts. And then I finally got to the manager, and the manager was like, oh, yeah. Oh, really? We don't have anybody to help? Huh. I mean, it was just no sense of urgency. And I'm thinking, well, if that's how the manager is, right, that's pretty much how your staff's going to be. Yeah, we're just kind of chilling. You need help? That's nice. But there's something even more important. And that is a sense of urgency of telling people about Jesus Christ. A sense of urgency about what God has called us to do. And maybe he has called you to be a worshiper, maybe a leader. Maybe you are an encourager. There are so many different gifts that are in the body of Christ, and everybody has a call and everybody has a gift, but sometimes we don't have a sense of urgency. We think, well, you know, I kind of had this idea about getting involved with this church and doing this thing and volunteering here or there, but next month, and that turns into next year, and that turns into what? You can be a decade down the road, and all of a sudden, you know, you're on death's bed, you're going, yeah, you know, kind of should have done some things. Time flies fast. Have you guys noticed as you get older, time seems to go faster? Not only did Paul have a sense of urgency about the gospel, but he made sure that he added to his ability. This wasn't automatic. He knew the Bible, sure, but he practiced his teaching. He added to his ability. He increased in his ability, right? What do we do? Leaders are readers. I know not a lot of people like to read, but the thing is that if you're a leader, you need to add to your ability, right? You need to grow in that. As a preacher, I'm a perpetual student. I mean, I'm reading books all the time. I'm learning stuff, and I'm always having to learn, and then hopefully that can rub off on you guys as well. But Whatever ministry you have, if it's worship, or if it's teaching, or teaching the children, or it's encouraging, or maybe it's counseling people, you know, whatever it is God uses you to do, you don't want to just stay in one place, but you want to increase in that ability. Amen? Does that make sense? I can get a louder amen than that. Amen? Okay, good, because you're like, But that's the thing I've noticed, because we can get comfortable in our gifting, yes? We can get comfortable in our gifting. You can learn guitar and go, I learned G, C, and D. And you can play a lot of songs with those three chords. But there are some songs that you can't play with those chords. And so as a musician, we have to grow. I have to learn more chords. And then you know, you graduate, you guys who play, you graduate to the bar chords, right? Remember when you first tried bar chords? Ow! It hurts! Maybe you didn't say it like that, but you know, you have to squeeze all the strings together, and your fingers don't want to go that way, right? And you're just kind of forcing them. But it takes practice to get good at playing guitar or playing drums or whatever the instrument. The same thing is with any gifting God has given you. It takes your effort. You got to add to it. So he increased in strength. He trained himself. He grew. And as he grew, everybody in the church benefited from it. Amen? Now, it wasn't all Paul. Obviously, God was using him. But see, God sometimes is waiting for us to get serious about our call. God sometimes is saying, hey, what is stopping you? What is stopping you from serving? And sometimes we get in the midst of serving and we stop. What stops us from moving forward and serving God? What hinders us from serving the Lord? Hardships. You might be in ministry. Maybe you've done ministry in the past. Maybe you're here and you come from a church, or a long time ago you used to serve. And I've talked with some of you about this. But something happens in your life, right? Maybe a parent who passes away. It could be maybe it's a health issue, or there's some conflict. Something happens. And it's kind of like you're in a boat, and all of a sudden there's a storm, and that boat goes off course. And you just keep going in the direction now that storm has set you, but it's the wrong direction. You're supposed to be going, you know, how many degrees the other way, but that trial or whatever that's come in your life, it sets you off course. Instead of following the course that God has put you on, you're going on your own course. And again, that's not a thing of guilt. That's just reality. It happens in our life. Does it not happen? Hard things happen. It's easy. The devil knows it's easy to get a Christian out of the game, to put him on the bench. It doesn't take a lot for us to stop doing ministry again. Let's face it, it just doesn't. I know. I've been there. There is another thing that will hinder us from serving, and it definitely can get in the way, offense. Now, this is a fun subject, right? No, because nobody gets offended in church, right? That never happens. I don't get offended in church, but this happens. We get serving, and maybe somebody does something that we don't like, or they do it in a way we don't like, or somebody didn't tell me about whatever a change or whatever it is, you get offended. And when you get offended, you think, well, fine then, right? I'm not going to do that anymore. Now, you don't let anybody else know this. You've got to come up with some better excuse, right? But deep down in your heart, you know, you did a fine den to them. You just walked off. Now, I'm not even speaking to what that person did was wrong or not. I'm just saying we get offended. We don't let things just roll off of us. Sometimes people get offended for me. They say, weren't you offended? Maybe it's my IQ or something, but I think it just went right past me. It's like, because I'm not looking to be offended. And it depends, because if you have some people have a certain disposition, and you're just looking to be offended. You get offended about anything. You know what I'm saying? The kind of people, they walk, you all walk on the eggshells. Let me step on the eggshells. Can I get around them? Boo! Oh, they're offended. You know what I'm saying? So some people, it's just, me, I'm not so much like that. If you intend to offend me, I might miss it. What? That was offensive, Dave. It was. I missed it. But if you're not looking for it, right? If you're not looking to be offended, you're not going to be offended all that much. You just kind of get a holy dumbness. I don't know. Just let it go. Who cares? Life is too short because you're letting that person that offended you control your decisions. Yeah. Okay. You get it? You're taking the remote control and you're saying, here you go. You now control the decisions I make in my life. Go ahead. Press the button. Don't press the button because I probably messed this up enough already. But you know what I'm saying? Here, I give you control. Go ahead, Lino. Just push a button and Dave will do what you want. That's what you're doing. Whenever you get offended and you get a bitter root, and then you get a bitter root is like a little fish hook that's kind of in your gut, and the devil uses it to pull you where he wants you to go. See, that's why we don't let a root of bitterness grow. Because you don't really want a satanic fish hook in your gut. That's terrible. Isn't that an ugly image? So, hardships, offenses, right? Fear of failure or criticism. If you want to know how to not ever be criticized for doing anything ever, I will tell you the secret. Stay in bed. Just don't get up in the morning. Because inevitably, when you get up and you get out of bed and you try to do something at work, somebody's going to criticize you. Probably to somebody else, not to your face. Some people just do it to your face to irritate you, right? Yeah, that was really dumb. It's like, oh my gosh. Are you in 12th grade? What? It's like, are you like 10 or, I mean, right? But most people, you know, and they're afraid. They hear whispers. And they're whispering about me. Maybe they're telling a joke. Maybe it is about you. I don't know. But if we fear failure or we fear criticism. You know what? Criticism is not a spiritual gift. Did you get that? There is no spiritual gift of criticism. It's part of this thing we call human nature. It's just that, and everybody has it. Opinions are cheap. They're easy. Anybody can come up with an opinion. Anybody can come up with a criticism. Now, people say, well, you know, but there's constructive criticism. Yeah, that usually means, though, you care about the person first. And then you usually come up to them and, hey, I got a couple ideas, right? That's different. Because when people have suggestions, I take suggestions all the time. I listen to what people say, and I try to better what I do listening to them. But, I mean, I don't hang on every word. But I try and take what I can. But if we can let it, well, I don't want to get criticized. Or, you know what? Pastor Dave asked me to do this thing, and I might mess it up. So I'll pray about it. Right? Uh-oh, did that hurt? No, sometimes we got to pray about it, you know, but don't let that just be a Christianese thing that you do, right? Don't just put that out there. I would rather go, no. Not at this time. Wow. Love the honesty. But don't say pray about it if you're like totally not intending to do it. Don't drag that person. Don't drag that out. Just be like, you know, probably not at this time. That's better. Honesty is better. But sometimes we don't want. Why? Shame. Right? Oh, shame. Oh, I messed this up. Get up there and I'll sing the wrong note. I played the wrong notes. Some of you have heard me play the wrong notes. Sorry, Roz. Anyways, but we can fear failure and we never try. There's a whole bunch of people that never try anything because they basically, what they do, they call it sandbagging. They basically make it such a low level of expectation in their life, they'll never be disappointed. That's not how you want to live, right? You don't want to have such a low expectation of yourself. if I don't try anything, I'm going to be okay. That's not how that works. But God has gifted each and every one of us, and he wants us to step out of our comfort zone. And so you got to kind of get this hard tortoise shell, you know, and just get this hard shell that when critics say things or there's the fears that come into your head, just boop, just bounces off of that shell. Isn't that good? Just let it bounce off. Because God is more concerned with you stepping out and trying to do something than just, well, I'm not going to do that because I might do it wrong. Well, welcome to the world. You know, most, I don't really have to do those illustrations, do I? Edison, right? How many times did he try before he successfully invented the light bulb? You know, you've seen all those. You can Google all that stuff. I don't have to get into that. But most successful people, they're successful because they've left an entire mess behind them. You cannot, and in fact in the Bible it says this, I believe it's in Proverbs, it says that an empty stable produces no income. What does that mean? That means you got to have a cattle, you got to have cattle in there, right? You got to have a cow in there and that cow is going to produce some income for you, right? You're going to have animals and then stables, but guess what animals do? They poop. They make mess. And so you got to get in there with the shovel and clean. So what the proverb is saying is this. There's nothing worthwhile that you're going to do for the Lord that's not going to make a mess along the way. So let's start making a mess together. Amen? Amen? You know, we got to get over ourselves. And then, of course, there's one more is resistance from the devil. And this is why you got to put on your armor, because this is where all those crazy thoughts come from, right? You just be going along your merry way, having a nice time, having a great day, and for some reason, some really horrible negative thought comes into your mind. Or you start thinking about something somebody may think about you, and you just let it churn. And a lot of these things, there's resistance from the devil, and sometimes it's a voice in your head, and you think it's your own voice going, you shouldn't do this. You're not gifted like that, right? You're not so good at this. You're not so good at that. And there's a spiritual battle. Why? Because the devil has a great interest in keeping you off of the chessboard and keeping you off of the field and on the bench. He has a great interest because he knows that if we have a sense of urgency, and if we continue in faithfulness in our calling, and we continue to grow, see, this is what happens. We stop, right? We stop learning, we stop growing, and we stay where we're at. But if we continue learning, we continue growing, we have that longevity. Yeah, you might not be a rock star. You might not be ministering to thousands of people. That doesn't matter. But are you growing and giving your best for God and what he's giving you? Amen? I mean, that's what God speaks to me. Dave, I've given you a congregation. I've given you these responsibilities. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do the best. I'll preach to you as if there was 1,000 people in here. Why? Because that's what you deserve. Amen? When you get up here and worship and you sing, you're singing as if, oh my gosh, you know, we're in like the Blaisdell or something. And you're like, I can't picture that in my head. Because it's not about the number of people. It's about the audience of heaven and the Holy One. And as we're giving praise to him, we're faithful to him, he'll work out all the logistical stuff that he needs to work out. That's up to him. But he's calling us to increase in strength. Continue. Be faithful. Don't stop ministering. Don't stop. So what's stopping you today? Have any of these things stopped you? Have you been serving the Lord and somewhere along the way, the brakes have come on? And is it still something that's stopping you today? I share all these with you because I've gone through every single one of these myself. I've gone through hardships. I've had things happen in my life where I'm going, you know, Lord, can I quit? No, okay. But I've had hardships. I've had temptations to not maybe continue in the calling or whatever. I've been offended when I can understand it. sometimes I'm just, I miss it, honestly, because I'm not focused on that. But I've been offended before, and I've been hurt. But I can't allow that to stop me from doing what God has called me to do. Amen? I mean, it's like, oh, I'm sorry I'm not whatever you're thinking I'm supposed to be. Holy cow, someone was, I want to get really into it, but I mean, they wanted me to be super pastor, and I'm sorry, but I left my cape at home. I'm not super pastor here. I'm just a dude working out my calling, all right? And I'm not, whatever you think or projecting on me that you think I should be, I'm sorry, but I can't do that. I can only be what God is making me. Amen? Is this helpful? Because it's not just about pastoring. It's everything that we do. Everything we do. I know I threw out a few examples, but everything that we do for the Lord. Fear of failure or criticism. Oh, my gosh. I would let this, especially in the early years, let the criticism, all right, fine, I won't do that. Fine, I won't do it. You know, you can do that. I could let these things, but in resistance from the devil. By the very nature of you doing work for God, you are going to have an enemy that wants you to not work for God. That's his job, is to get you to stop. And what frustrates him the most is you keep doing it. And you keep moving, and you keep going, and you won't stop. Right? But I've been through these. It's life. It happens. But I am so thankful that I didn't get discouraged and quit halfway through. I just go, ugh. This is too much. This is too, because I've heard it. I've heard it from colleagues. I'm done with this. I don't care if I preach another sermon. Whoa. I mean, that's the thing. They've just gotten hammered, and I've gotten hammered. But the thing is that God just wants us to be faithful, and he'll bless. Amen? But a lot of the stuff, you notice something about all this? It's all going on up here. All going on up here. Probably 90% of it has nothing to do with reality. We kind of got to do a just a little mind flush and get rid of some of that stuff. Before you get all wrapped around the axle on some of these things, just know that most people never actually start out intending to offend you. Most people aren't actively thinking, yeah, I work for the devil, and today I'm going to go clock in and do his work. People don't think about that. People don't think about, I'm going to criticize this person. They just say what happens when their mouth hole opens and stuff comes out. It is not helpful, and they don't think much about it. And they go, that's just the way I am. Well, that's interesting. But we can let all that stuff get us, or we could just go, you know what, Lord? None of that matters. It's all the stuff that's turning in my head, my heart. My heart belongs to you. My life belongs to you. And even if some of the criticism is true, it doesn't matter. I'm going to serve you no matter what. Amen? Amen. So nobody's perfect. If you wait till you're perfect, I'm going to wait till I can totally do this the right way and not mess up, you'll be dead. Serving the Lord is messy. You make a mess along the way, but don't let the devil stop you, hardship, offense, fear, failure, criticism stop you. Let me just share a couple things. Negative factors can either become a speed bump or a roadblock in your journey with God. The choice is always ours. These negative things, they could be a speed bump. You know those, I hate those plastic ones. You know the new plastic ones that come out? I like what happened to the old asphalt speed bumps. You just go, tup, tup. You know, but some of those plastic speed bumps, you hit them, you're like, my transmission, thank you. But things are going to happen in your life. Negative factors. You choose, though, whether it's a speed bump or it's a roadblock. I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't like the pain that I'm experiencing emotionally from doing this. I'm not going to go anymore. I refuse to continue in this ministry. When we live by faith rather than feelings, the church is built up, made healthy, and it multiplies. See, the result of this sense of urgency, the result of his continually, faithfully, growing in strength, adding to his strength, continuing to move forward. And you can read about Paul. We're going to read more about him. And he was shipwrecked several times. He was beaten, left for dead, gets up, goes back into the city after they stone him. I'm thinking, I would be like, I'll go to another city. But man, I so respect him. But see, he learned that it's not about feelings. And he said he has this thing called the thorn in the flesh, something that afflicted him. I don't know if it was emotional or it's physical. But he asked the Lord three times, God, take this away. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Whoa. That's a whole nother sermon, right? But basically, sometimes there are just hard things in our life we got to deal with, and we got to move forward. Right? Because God didn't make us to be wimps. He made us strong. Our strength is here. Our strength is the Lord's. He is our strength. He gives us his Holy Spirit and the power to overcome every hardship, every offense, every trial, everything that comes against us, and even the very devil himself. And we say what? We step on his head and go, no, you will not hinder me in the name of Jesus. Nothing can hinder us. Nothing can stop us.
You have been listening to Spirit Driven with Pastor David Wilson of Hope Chapel Westside. Hope Chapel Westside meets Sundays, 9 a.m. at Holomua Elementary School in Ever Beach. If you would like more information on Hope Chapel Westside, just visit our website, hopechapelwestside.net. God bless and have a great week in the Lord.